Lovely to see you all. My name is Michael. For those who don't know me, I see some unfamiliar faces. I'd love to get to know you better after the service. I'm one of the pastors here. I'm assisting Kayumba. I'm a missionary in Zambia, helping with this church plant, which has been started and is growing. We thank God for that. Now, as our church service was about to begin, we were practicing some of our songs. And during the practice, or just before one of the songs, I heard Doc saying something which sparked something in my mind. And I realized that what I heard, I actually understood. And I heard something like this. I'm trying to repeat it, but I might even get it wrong. Karimanja asebenza. Right? Before one of the songs, what does that mean? Put your hands to work, right? Am I right? Okay, good. I recognized the language. I have recently started doing some Nyanja lessons, and I started to put a couple of things together. So, what used to mystify me in the language was now understandable. I was no longer mystified. And as I learn more and more of Nyanja, your conversations and the conversations I hear around Lusaka are going to become more and more understandable to me as I grow in my knowledge of Nyanja. This morning, as you may see on the screen behind me, my title for the sermon is to multiply the mystery of the kingdom of God. Multiply the mystery of the kingdom of God. In this parable, I trust we're going to learn together today that God's kingdom is not as plain to everyone as it might seem. And it's very clear that it's a mystery that needs to be unpacked, needs to be discovered. Some people think of it in certain terms, but they're actually misunderstanding the kingdom. But what needs to be multiplied is the mystery, the true meaning of that mystery. And that's what we want to discover today as we look to God's word. Won't you bow with me as we pray and ask God for his help? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word, which has been read here in a language that we can understand. Father, thank you that you have given us your Holy Spirit to help us understand your word. And we ask, Father, that as we listen, that you will indeed help us understand. May this not be a mystery to us, Lord, but help us to grow in our understanding, to know who you are, to know your kingdom message, and to go out and proclaim it. Please help me as I speak, Lord, that I may be guided by your Holy Spirit and speak clearly what you have laid on my heart. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please want to keep them open to Mark chapter 4. We're going to be looking at this passage. It's a wonderful story, actually. As this chapter opens up, it starts off with describing a scene. It says, again, he, that's Jesus, began to teach beside the sea. Now, this sea was the Sea of Galilee. And I know many of you probably have not had the privilege of going to the Sea of Galilee. It's very far away. But some of you might have had the privilege to go to Lake Kariba. By show of hands, how many of you have been to Lake Kariba or seen it? Not many. How many of you have seen it in a picture at least? At least in a picture. All right. Okay, that's more of us. Brilliant. Brilliant. The Lake Kariba is down in a valley with mountains on each side, and the water is in the middle. There are some spaces next to the lake where there are some more flatter plains, but a lot of the sides of the lake have these mountains coming towards the water, a lot like Cape Town. You've been to Cape Town. The sea and the mountains meet. It's like that also at the Sea of Galilee where Jesus was teaching. Lots of mountains around the Sea of Galilee, right? And some flat places where crowds can gather. One of those flat places was a place called Capernaum, which is where they were at this particular moment. And so we see Jesus coming, and I want you to see that picture. He's coming, he's walking alongside, beside the sea. They're surrounded by mountains, and there is ocean. Well, not ocean, this is just a large lake. It's called a sea. A very large crowd gathered. That's normally good news, right? Especially when you have a message to proclaim and you're wanting to teach people. It's great if a crowd can gather. And this is what happens. A crowd gathered. But this crowd is so great and so large that Jesus needed to get into a boat to get some distance and space. And a lot of people who have looked at this passage in the past have recognized that this was actually quite a strategic thing for Jesus to do, because it helped him to address the large crowd because of the acoustics of the mountains around and the flat water and just the way the land was laid out. It actually helped him to be able to be heard by this large crowd. Pretty much like this morning, this microphone is helping you in the back to hear clearly my voice. So Jesus got into this boat and he sat in the boat, and the whole crowd, we're told, was not in the boat. They were on the land. Isn't it interesting? Have you seen that? Mark actually wants us to be sure of this. He writes it in case you might have been doubting, right? The whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. There is the picture. Jesus sitting on the boat on the sea, and the crowd sitting beside the sea on the land. The first thing I want you to notice here is a separation. There is a distinction. There is the crowd and there is the teacher. The teacher is on the water and the crowd is on the land. Now, this distinction actually we're going to encounter in the story, even as it comes. We're going to discover that a distinction is very important, because there are some people who don't understand the mystery, and there are other people who do understand the mystery. But for now, it's just Jesus. Jesus is sitting in a boat. Jesus is trying to convey a message. He's trying to preach. He's trying to proclaim. In fact, that's exactly what he's doing. That's what the text says. He began to teach, and as he sat on the sea, he was teaching them. And in his teaching, you see that word is repeated there? Jesus wants to teach something. Now, I know some of us are going to school. In our midst here, we have some students and we have some studying, teaching, and even we have some lecturers and professors amongst us who know what teaching is all about. When you teach something, you're teaching something which is not known. You don't go to school to learn something you already know. You as a teacher don't stand in front of people to teach people something they already know. Once they've graduated from your class, they go to another class. They don't come back to your class to keep on learning. They need to learn something. And here Jesus is teaching something. He wants these people to get something. And in fact, he wants them to get the mystery, as we will find out later. It's very clear that there is a further distinction that Jesus has been facing even before this chapter. In chapter 3, just previous, we read that Jesus' own family thinks he's crazy. They're trying to get to him, but he's surrounded by crowds whom he's teaching, and they say he's lost his mind. And they stand outside and they call to Jesus. But Jesus is surrounded by his disciples, those who are listening to him as he's teaching. And he hears them say, "Your mother and brothers are outside. They're asking for you. They're looking for you." And Jesus asks a very interesting question. Who? Who are my mother and my brothers and my sister? Who is my family? Moses, do you know who your family is? You should know that. Jesus is asking a very interesting question here. Why? Well, because he actually wants to provide a different answer to these people. He actually wants them to see a part of the mystery of the kingdom which they haven't yet got. And what is that mystery? He says, here are my mother and brothers. There's one sitting in this circle. These are my mother and brothers. Why? Because they hear the word of God, they hear the teaching, and they obey it. Whoever does the will of God, says verse 35 of chapter 3. So very clear, there is this distinction of those who can hear, those who do the will, and those who don't. Even Jesus' own family are described as those on the outside. On the outside. Look with me quickly to verse number 10 of Mark chapter 4. Because after Jesus told the parable, which we'll come back to in a moment, his disciples and those around him, that's that circle of friends who Jesus said, you are my family. They came to him and they asked about the parables. And Jesus said to them, well, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. Maybe your Bible says the mystery. Some translations translate that word secret into mystery. The Greek word is mysterion. So it is more closely translated to be a mystery. It's been given to you the mystery of the kingdom of God. But for those on the outside, everything is given in parables. You are on the inside, you are given the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to the outside, they are get it in parables. So there is a distinction here. There is a distinction. Let's go back to the beginning of this passage where Jesus is sitting on the lake. He's sitting on the lake teaching a multitude of people who can hear him clearly because of the acoustics of the region. He's sitting on the boat. They're not on the boat, they're on the land. They're listening. Jesus knows about this distinction already because he already said there are some who are inside and some who are outside. Some will get the mystery and some will get the parables. Jesus himself is sitting on the lake all alone. Why do I want to emphasize this? At this point in Jesus' ministry, he was the only one who understood the mystery. Everybody else did not understand. They were all on the outside, confused. If you go back to Mark chapter 1, you will see where the confusion all starts. Jesus calls some of his disciples, says, come follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Jesus clearly wants people to come alongside and to help him, to convey his message. Jesus got a message to preach. In fact, Mark chapter 1 verse 14 tells us that he began to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. The kingdom has come. Repent and believe. He wants people to understand. He wants you to understand. He wants the crowd next to the lake to understand. But at that moment, he alone understood. And I want you to see that picture. Jesus on the lake. As the only one carrying with him a mystery which he's trying to convey to others. They were expecting a Messiah to come. They were. And so when Jesus started his ministry in Mark chapter 1, we see that he went into the synagogue and people recognized when this man spoke, he spoke with authority. They said, wow, something different about this man. He speaks with authority. Even when the demons try to speak up, Jesus silences them and casts them out. They said, this is a man who has authority even over demons. Later on, even they see Simon Peter himself, who was one of the first disciples. They went to his house. His mother was sick. And Jesus healed Simon Peter's mother. And of course, this created great excitement. And lots of people started to gather because they heard of miracles. They heard of authority. Could this be the Messiah? One of the things they keep asking each other is, who is this? A key verse throughout the book of Mark, the identity of Jesus. Who is he? It's a mystery at this point. Many people think he's come to do miracles. He healed Simon Peter's mother. Others came, he healed them, and more people and crowds start gathering. Why? Because of miracles. Just think of Heroes Stadium. How many times have people gone announcing miracles? How many people in Lusaka gather around Heroes Stadium? What? For miracles. People love miracles. Quickly attracted to miracles. Signs and wonders. Jesus was doing that. They were gathering, but these people did not understand the mystery. The mystery is actually the identity of Jesus. Who is he? And the clue to this is actually in Mark chapter 1, verse 14 to 16, when he says, he started proclaiming the kingdom of God. He said, the kingdom of God is near. It has come. Why? Because the king himself has come. The king himself has come. This is the mystery. The people don't understand. This is the mystery. Even his family did not understand in Mark chapter 3. That's why they said he's crazy. It's the mystery that the scribes in Mark chapter 3 didn't understand. They said this man is demon possessed. That's how he can cast out demons, because he himself has got a demon in him. They don't understand the mystery, who Jesus really is. But Jesus wants them to know. And that's why he's sitting on the lake with a crowd in front of him. And he wants them all to know. He wants them all to know. However, as we go through the story, we'll also recognize that Jesus understands that some people will only understand in part and other people will get the message differently. Let's go through the parable. The parable might help us understand what we're talking about here. The parable. Jesus starts in verse 3. He says, listen. Listen. I want you to notice that word listen, because it's also at the end of the verse. The end of the parable, verse 9, is where the parable ends. Did you see there again? He who has ears, let him hear. Let him listen. Jesus is calling the people who are clearly hearing his words to actually listen. There is a deeper meaning. He's teaching and he wants his people to listen and to hear what he is teaching. So hearing is important. Listening is crucial. He says, listen, or behold, he continues, a sower went out to sow. You can see a picture of a man throwing seeds in the field. But I also want you to see Jesus himself sitting on that boat, casting his own words over the crowd. He is the sower, sowing the word. Jesus is sowing. But he's telling a parable. In fact, he's speaking about himself even while he's sitting on that boat. He says, a sower goes out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path. This is a hard ground that doesn't accept the word. And the birds come and devour it and carry the seed away. Other seed fell on rocky ground. Now, as Jesus sitting on that lake where he was, I mean, he could see the rocky ground, the mountains around him. People knew about rocky ground in this terrain because this was a very rocky place. They knew what rocky ground was. They knew how difficult it was to farm in rocky ground and to get their crops to grow. So some seed fell on rocky ground. It didn't have much soil. And so it sprang up quickly, all excited, but it didn't have depth into which its roots could grow. When the sun rose, it was scorched, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seeds fell into good soil, and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30 and 60-fold and some 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears, let him hear. This morning, I don't want to talk too much about the different soils. Even though during the week I had a chance to ask Dr. Isaac Madsen, the soil scientist, about the soils and how the soil contributes to the growth of the seed. What I want us rather to focus on this morning actually is the distinction between those who hear and those who don't. Because the sower was sowing seed. Why does anyone sow seed? To look for a harvest. That is the purpose of casting seed, is to get a harvest. The rains have just started to hint that they are going to come. Many of you are thinking about when you're going to go out and plant. I know, Mr. Malenga, you already arranged for yourself more land so you can plant more crops. You guys are thinking about planting, and the reason you're thinking about planting is because you want a harvest. You want a harvest. And in the end here, there's only one type of ground which produces the harvest. It is the only ground which receives and grows roots and doesn't have any distractions of thorns and thistles. It is the ground that truly understands. Listen to what Jesus says to his disciples. You know, as Jesus sat on the boat teaching, his disciples were among that crowd. And Jesus knew, these are my inner circle. These are the ones, actually, who are going to understand. These are the ones to whom I'm going to give the secret of the kingdom of heaven. Right? And so Jesus says to them later, after they ask the question about the parables, verse 13 of chapter 4, he says, don't you understand this parable? Jesus was keen for them to understand. Why was Jesus keen for them to understand? Well, Jesus wanted fruits. He wanted a harvest. But what harvest did Jesus want? The harvest that Jesus wanted is disciples who will proclaim the same mystery to others and therefore bear fruit again. Jesus wanted people not only to understand, but he wanted people who would understand and proclaim. That's why Jesus was investing in his 12 inner circle disciples. He wanted them that after he was gone, the same 12 would do what? Go and proclaim the word clearly, which is a mystery, which is helping people to understand, so that they themselves, when they receive it, would pass it on to others. So, I've got 3 points this morning, and I might have jumped across my points. Can you just put them all up there, please, for me, Moses, because I have not followed my outline correctly. What I want us to see is that the mystery is given, it's not attained. The mystery is given, it's not attained. And this is actually what we see in verse number 10 and 11. Jesus says to his disciples, to you the mystery has been given. Not attained. We can't get to a knowledge of the truth by our own efforts. In fact, that's what Jesus goes on to say here. Other people get the message in parables so that they may see and not see, that they may hear and not understand. Now, that word understand in the original is a different word from the one Jesus uses later. This word actually refers to the idea of applying your thinking so that you can arrive at an insight. So when you try and work out a problem, you apply your mind so that you can arrive at a certain insight about what you're thinking. Jesus is actually telling you, you can't, by your own human abilities, arrive by thinking and working this problem out, arrive at the solution and say, this is the solution of the mystery. No, it must be given to you. And that's what Jesus says. To you it has been given. And you need to understand this parable so that you can understand other parables. And this is the key. Jesus has to give and help people understand. Think quickly with me about Peter. In Mark chapter 8, when Jesus helps his disciples to understand his identity a little bit more, and Jesus asks Peter, actually, who do you say I am? Peter says, you are the Christ. Matthew's gospel tells us that Jesus responded and says, you didn't figure that out yourself, Peter. It was God who told you that. It's God who helped you to get to that realization. But what does Peter do immediately after that? When Jesus tells him, yes, I'm the Messiah, but the Messiah needs to suffer and die. Peter says, no. You are not. And Peter starts to rebuke the Messiah. He says, you cannot suffer and die. You are our Messiah. You're supposed to sit on the throne of David. You're supposed to rescue us from Rome. How can you suffer and die? You see, Peter, even later on, after this parable we told, Peter didn't understand Jesus' true identity. He still needed to be given more information. Jesus rebuked Peter. Later on, Peter exhibits rocky ground, actually, when Jesus is arrested, taken into prison. What does Peter do? Well, first of all, he runs away. He flees, leaves Jesus alone again. Later on, he denies Jesus. He says, I don't know you. He was afraid of what? Persecution and suffering. My Jesus is being persecuted. I don't want to go the same road of persecution. I don't know that one. Peter exhibited the sign of the rocky ground, which in verse 17 says, when persecution and trouble arise on account of the word, they fall away. Peter didn't understand truly by this stage who Jesus was. Jesus suffered and died as he said he would, as the Messiah had to do, as the King of God's kingdom had to do. He suffered and died. But when he arose, look at the end of Mark, if you still got your Bibles open, page through to the last verse of Mark, actually, last two verses. Well, not the extended version of Mark, but we go to verse number 7. This is where the angel at the tomb, after Jesus has risen from the dead, the angel comes to the woman who'd come to anoint the body with spices and perfumes. The angel says to the woman, he is risen, he is not here. Come see the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples, and go and tell Peter, the one who betrayed Jesus, the one who didn't understand, the inner circle people, go and tell them, they didn't understand. And I want you this morning to recognize that Peter himself, even after the resurrection of Jesus, was still coming to terms with who he is. Who is Jesus? And this morning I believe that this parable that we are looking at is all about the identity of Jesus. The seed that is being planted in the hearts and minds of the hearers who are listening on the side of the lake is this. Jesus is the King of God's kingdom who must suffer and die for our sins. That is the word of God that he wants his disciples to get. That's the word of God that he wants the crowds to get. That's the word of God that he wants you to get here today. That Jesus is the King of God's kingdom who has come, who has died for our sins. And that is the only way that God's kingdom can grow, is when we recognize who he truly is, his identity. The suffering servant, the Son of God, who has come to die for our sins. As Jesus sat there on that lake and looked across the crowd of the people whom he would later on die for, all of whom thought he had come to do miracles for them. Can you imagine Jesus' own anxiety and tension in his own heart as he's trying to convey this mystery? This is a mystery that must be given. Can't be attained. This is a mystery that must be spread. He wants disciples to understand it and to convey it and to perpetuate the story and the truth about Jesus to other people. This is what Jesus wants, and he himself is the mystery, his identity. Now this morning, we're sitting here in this room. I wonder how many of you have misunderstood the purpose of Jesus. Why did he come? Some of us might be asking ourselves this question and say, if Jesus is God and in control of everything, well, why are we suffering without electricity, without water? Why are we suffering with sickness and suffering in our land? If Jesus is truly God, can't he do something about it? Have you paused maybe to think and ask yourself why there is suffering in our world? Suffering came into our world because of human rebellion, because we don't listen to God, the King. And because of that, we deserve punishment. We do. We deserve suffering. But Jesus came to deal not with our problem of no electricity, no water, no health, no finances. Jesus came to deal with a different problem, which actually is the key problem which initiates the kingdom of God. Jesus came to deal with our sin problem. Jesus came to deal with the problem of Satan. He's mentioned here, the one who takes away the seeds. He's the enemy of God, who doesn't want you to know who Jesus truly is. Maybe today you're hearing that Jesus is the one who's come to deal with your sin problem. Don't let the devil take away that word. That is the seed which needs to land in your heart and bear fruit. When you yourself understand who Jesus truly is, that is when you can tell others about him. There are other stories in the book of Mark where you can see somebody got a healing. And Jesus said to that person who got healed, like the leper, don't tell anyone. But what did he do? He went and told everyone, I know Jesus. He's the healer. He's spreading a false identity. Or it's not a false identity. It's just not the full identity. People come rushing around Jesus because they think he's got something to give me. This is selfishness. But Jesus has come to deal with your sin problem. Jesus has come to initiate the kingdom of God, where he sits on the throne of David and rules in righteousness. He deals with sin. He removes sin from our lives. He removes the punishment of sin. He removes the presence of sin, the power of sin. That's what Jesus has come for. And he wants you to understand. It's a mystery that is not easily understood. It's a mystery that must be given. God, by his Holy Spirit, help you understand. If you don't understand that this morning, please, can I urge you, pray and ask God to help you understand. In the book of James, chapter 1, James writes and says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives freely. Say, God, I want to understand who you truly are. He will reveal it. That's the only way you can know Jesus truly, is if he reveals to you who he is. Here at Christ Church Lusaka, Reach Zambia, we are growing this church. We don't want to grow this church on a false foundation. We don't want people to come rushing to this church because they think here is a powerful papa who can do miracles and do a solution for my problem of marriage or my problem of health. Or no, this is not what we want to do as we grow this church. We want to grow this church on the truth of God's kingdom. The truth that Jesus is King of God's kingdom and he's come to deal with our sin problem. And we want you to know that too. Let's pray.